Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
Well, welcome, y'all. Welcome to a great show. Great show tonight. And I tell you, this is something that we would love to do. I'm so glad for my co-host, Lady Misty, of course, the one and only.
Yes, I'm here in the building. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, extraordinaire. So again, guys, welcome to Let's Talk Radio. Let's Talk Relationships. Yeah. I'm going with the words again. So guys, welcome to Let's Talk Relationships. I am DJ KTE.
And I am Lady Misty. Thank you for joining us tonight. Mm-hmm. We have a great show for you lined up for tonight. But before we go into all of that, we want to give a special shout out to our sponsors. So we want to say shout out to UME Digital Media Inc.
Yes.
You can visit them at www.umedigitalmediainc.com. We also want to shout out Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass.
Yeah.
You go to www.mycoachministry.com and check out their courses on UDEMY. And also Royal Events, celebrating one event at a time. So you can check her out at www.marshajnow.com/events. And if you want to see all of what I'm just talking about, you just go to the app, UME Radio, and you will find all of what I just said a while ago. Check us out. And we have great things there for you. So get the app now, guys.
And the app actually is one word. It's you.
It's yes. UME Radio. UMERADIO. One word.
Yes.
.com.
You can get all we got going on. So what do we have for tonight?
All right. So we have coming up our hot topic segments. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, and we'll be talking about the whole issue behind Jeffrey Epstein. We'll be talking about that. We have our Vox Pop section. I hope that's still in on for us tonight. We're moving straight into our Power in Diaspora, and we have men in the house. So I'm the only female tonight. I'm the rose among the thorns tonight.
I'm telling you.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
It's an all-male cast tonight.
It's going to be the bomb. Yes, it's going to be all right.
We
show up. Yes. We show up. We make it happen.
I have no doubt, Keith. So with all the testosterone that will be in the room tonight, I know I'm going to be feeling great. I'm sorry, just a correction here, guys. I'm sorry. We'll be talking about the Nick Cannon saga that went down. As you know, he was fired from the company he worked with. And we're going to be touching on that tonight. I know it's a hot, hot topic. So it's steaming, it's blazing. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. We're moving into Power in Diaspora in a few. We'll be talking to our first guest, who is a male, as I told you before, all males in the house. And then we go into life moments. So let's go straight into our hot, hot topic for tonight. And it's all about Nick Cannon.
You want support? Roland Martin Unfiltered. Well, folks, Viacom CBS chose to end their long-running relationship with Nick Cannon after a podcast interview with Professor Griff, formerly of public enemy. Viacom CBS accuses Canon of promoting hateful speech and spreading anti-Semitic conspiracy theories from this podcast.
Then let's go to what it really is then. When we talk about the power of melanated people, when we talk mm-hmm. about who we really are as guys and understanding right. that our melanin is so power and it connects us in a way that the reason why they fear black, the reason why they fear is because they the lack that they have of it. So then when you see what, you know, Dr. Francis C. Wellesley talked about is that fear in that
genetic annihilation
that deficiency mm-hmm. of when you have a person that has the lack of pigment, the right. lack of melanin,
right.
that they know that they will be annihilated. So therefore, however they got the power, they have the lack of compassion mm-hmm. that melanin comes with compassion. Melanin comes with soul that mm-hmm. we call it soul. We soul brothers and sisters. That's the melanin that connects us.
Right.
So the people that don't have it are a little, and I'm gonna say this carefully, are a little less, and where the term actually comes from, because I'm bringing it all the way back around
okay.
to Minister Farrakhan, to where they may not have the compassion or the when they were sent to the mountains of Caucasus, when they didn't have the power of the sun, that the sun then started to deteriorate mm-hmm. them. So then they're acting out of fear, they're acting out of low self-esteem, they're acting out of a deficiency
mm-hmm.
So therefore the only way that they can act is evil. The only way they can they have to rob, steal, rape, kill, and
fight or flight
in order to survive.
Exactly.
So then these people who didn't have what we had, and when I say we, I speak of the mm-hmm. melanated people,
right,
they had to be savages. They had to be barbaric. They had, because they're in these Nordic mountains, they're in these rough torrential environments.
Mm.
So they're acting as animals.
Right.
So they're the ones that are actually closer to animals. They're the ones that are actually the true savages. And then they built up such this, I don't want to say warrior, but they built up such this conquering
mm-hmm.
Barbaric mentality.
Now, it was more than an hour-long podcast. Canon later took to social media and said this: anyone who knows me knows that I have no hate in my heart, no malice intentions. I do not condone hate speech nor the spread of hateful rhetoric. We are living in a time when it is more important than ever to promote unity and understanding. The Black and Jewish communities have both faced enormous hatred, oppression, persecution, and prejudice for thousands of years, and in many ways have and will continue to work together to overcome these obstacles. When you look at the media and other sectors in our nation's history, African Americans and the people of the Jewish community have partnered to create some of the best, most revolutionary work we know today. I'm an advocate for people's voices to be heard openly, fairly, and candidly. In today's conversation about anti-racism and social justice, I think we all, including myself, must continue educating one another and embrace uncomfortable conversations. It's the only way we all get better. I encourage more healthy dialogue and welcome any experts, clergy, or spokespersons to any of my platforms to hold me accountable and correct me in any statement that I've made that has been projected as negative. Until then, I hold myself accountable for this moment and take full responsibility, because my intentions are only to show that as a beautiful human species, we have way more commonalities than differences. So let's embrace those as well as each other. Now, that's what he released on Monday. This is the statement that Viacom released on Tuesday. Statements from Viacom CBS about Nick Cannon attributed to Viacom CBS spokesperson. Viacom CBS condemns bigotry of any kind, and we categorically denounce all forms of anti-Semitism. We have spoken with Nick Cannon about an episode of his podcast, Cannon's Class, on YouTube, which promoted hateful speech and spread anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. While we support ongoing education and dialogue in the fight against bigotry, we're deeply troubled that Nick has failed to acknowledge or apologize for perpetuating anti-Semitism, and we are terminating our relationship with him. We are committed to doing better in our response to incidents of anti-Semitism, racism, and bigotry. Viacom CBS will have further announcements on our efforts to combat combat hate of all kinds.
Wow, pretty heavy stuff, huh?
Yeah, very pretty, heavy stuff.
Pretty heavy stuff. You know, as I listened to that tape there, and mm-hmm. I listened to what was being said, mm-hmm. a lot came to my mind. You know, I know we all have thoughts. I'm sure that those were actually weighing in on different media platforms. You have reputable names, and you have right. Rap stars, and you have other celebrities who are waiting on this. But I'm sure tonight, those of you who are listening may have your ideas as well. You may have your thoughts on it. So sometime in the program, you're gonna be able to actually weigh in and maybe share your thoughts. So what do you think so far about this whole issue here?
It's pretty interesting. I like the fact that Nick really spoke his mind as to, you know, what he was really thinking. However, I'm still wrapping my mind around why what he said is seen as discriminatory. I think he was coming from a position where he saw his view, and I was listening to him speak, and he really didn't come across in a demeaning way to the Jewish community. I don't know if anybody else, you know, seeing that incorrectly, but I don't see him coming across in a demeaning or a racist way. However, that's how it was taken. And I think that because he is somebody of color, him saying that brought that kind of energy. I think that if it was somebody white or, you know, of another racial background that said something like that, it would not be taken that way, and he would not be treated that way.
Mm.
Right, so that's one, and then the fact that he was fired because of that, it kind of makes a question. I have a question mark around that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then now there are reports coming out now that yes, he apologized, and yes, he apologized to the Jewish community, and he made his statements and so on. And now Nick is seeking ownership of the show that he has been with for what, the past 20 years?
Yes.
That's it? That's what's the name of the show?
Wild and Out.
Wild and Out.
And I'm saying why fire him and keep the show? Because it's his show.
Have any discussion.
Right. He's the face of the show. So I have two questions. The two questions that jump out at me. Why fire him and keep the show? Why not throw the show out with him? And two, why did Nick wait so long to be owner of that brand? Because he has been the face of that brand for so long. Mm-hmm. Was it that there were no opportunities for him to be owner? Or what? Those kinds of things. So is it that because of this now you are just coming and you want to be ownership because of how they treated you because they don't have a job anymore? Or what?
You know, Lady Misty, you know, that's a great point. But I think, you know, usually we take caller later, but this is a hot topic here. It seems like it's
so about hot. To go yeah.
in fire. So I think we have a caller who wants to weigh in on this. So go right ahead.
Hi, Lady Misty. And
hi, Akilim. How are you?
I'm good, and it's always good to have an interesting intellectual conversation with you guys, and let's start
right. with
usual.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah,
I listened in. I heard your comment, and I listened in on the audio that was played. And you know,
go ahead.
Let me think. I have to think of it three ways. And let me first make my statement out there. For anybody who has a public platform that speak any form of hatred, anti-Semitic, or any form of segregation or prejudice, should be removed from here automatically. They programmed them, everything. Let me put that out there. I stand for that because of their platform and the amount of people that they reach and the influence they have and garner may result in further perpetuation of this hatred in society to which we need to weed out. That's my statement. Let me place that out there. But let me go back to a unique situation. Now, I need to first listen to Viacom's statement. Listen to their script, what they say. They say, and they highlighted things as to why they removed themselves from partnership with him or from his show. Let's say it's a joint show. They're a part of it. It's their show. Let's call it that, right?
Okay.
The first response that they say is, like, the first response they said was, one, he has not taken ownership. Two, he has yet to apologize about it. Three, his speech itself, what he said on his other platform, perpetrated hatred. Right?
Right.
That's what they said.
No, it's against it. That's what they said. And I'm loved that they have
allegedly.
Alleged, yes. But I'm saying that they have not done that in the past. And I see that this is their tactics in a way. Let me give them that. It's the way that they're trying to fix what they have done in their past. But I think they're doing it wrong. And this is why. One, 24 hours after he made the statement and the views of it was, because in his mind it wasn't. And you can hear that when you listen to the audio of him talking, you realize he has nothing in regards to that. The beginning of the speech and the ending of his conversation, he was making clear statements that he had no idea of having segregation. However, he went further in his argument. Because again, sometimes we have our own opinions in our mind. We're only speaking the truth and it's not necessarily in a means to be offensive to others. And that's cool because he's a public figure. So you know certain repercussions as a various offensive statements. So he took it to Facebook right after 24 hours after. He not only one owned it, he also two apologized in his statement and three cleared the record as to say that where his mind was and he's open to dialogue to learn more so he can be a better person. And three and four, that's the third one. And fourthly, he also went further into elaborating on why he had that view. In his Facebook, and I said he took it openly, no witness. And you read what he posted on Facebook, you realize it's no PR stunt. You actually seem open up about it. And went further elaborating on further talk shows and further on the air talking about it and posts and tweets. So he clearly owned what he says. So Viacom, all the lines of reason Viacom used, they act, and this is 24 hours after his apology. They made a statement. So let this be clear that their statement in office of as to reason as to fire him is not only fraudulent in its capacity and defeat the purpose of making such a statement, but two, the statement not only it also creates a cloud of judgment, of question around what's the real reason behind of why you're doing this action. Because it can't just be because he made a statement and you're saying that he didn't apologize for, but he did. And in and of itself, even if once he's an employee, it's illegal to fire somebody. The reason why you give them to fire someone for those same reasons, the reasons are inaccurate. Once you're inaccurate, the termination becomes an unlawful termination.
Well,
so
brother,
he should sue the hell out of them if he's full on employee, as they would say.
All right. I hear you.
Before you go, Akilim, do you think that he should have been fired?
Okay. My position is on that. I think when I listened to his statement originally, I'm going to be clear with you because I didn't hear the beginning of his statement. I started listening from the middle, actually, and what was perpetrated on the media. And to be honest, if I was just following what the media says, I believe he should have been fired at the moment him come over here. All it, you just get fired. And you get fired from that platform. Any platform that gave him a position to speak on a certain topic, and he used that negatively, I automatically believe he should have been removed. Totally.
So what about HR? What about HR? The regular person just be fired like that without HR coming in?
there are conditions to his his contract that did not turn away, especially the idea of speaking hate speech. Again, as I open my statement, I open first with anybody that speaks hatred on a public platform that is given a platform to share. If they speak any amount of hatred, they should be removed. That platform should be shut down.
So, brother, 1 second here. So you're saying that he was doing hate speech? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. Hold on. Let's take it back.
I'm only asking the question. Was he speaking hate speech? Is that your opinion?
No, if I listen to the media only, I would have thought so. When I listened to what he said actually online, and I started to read the Facebook post, and I read what Viacom post, I now understand he never made he had no intention of hatred, and his speech was not hatred. But I'm a black man just like he is, so I could have a sense of bias, in my opinion, based on how we spoke. And so I'm conscious of that activity. I am heavily conscious of that activity. However, we have to first take his statement, not only on the face of it, but also all the other aspects, everything that's around it in regards to his action. We cannot just look in our mind and say, this is what the media says, so we're going to run with it. The reality is you have to first sit, because I have to sit and listen. I have come to learn that I cannot sit and take what CNN, what BBC, what every general major media broadcast station get up and say today, because today they're saying just enough so they can get sale, just all enough right. So they can get clicks and likes and following and a larger audience and money. And that's the bottom line, they're a business.
Gotcha.
When I had to listen to him and say what he was saying, and all I felt like Viacom took an inappropriate approach to it, rather than open dialogue, this was an opportunity to build Viacom in the company. So this was an opportunity for them to not only show themselves as the people know them for, they should show themselves now as a whole unified front to sit together and say, let's have that conversation. He made his statement. Let us all sit and have that conversation. Let's show him that.
Brother, I see you. More educated. All right, brother, I got a question right here. You say a whole lot of things. And I love what you're saying. I love it. I think that's you made a lot of great points. But I think we got to get this going. We have a great guest coming up real soon, and I do have my take on it. I will probably share it later on, and in the show. And a lot of great points being made here, but I think that you made some great points. I really do. I appreciate you.
Yes, he did. Thank you, Akilem.
Thank you. It's always lovely.
And it's always lovely when you call in. Thank you.
Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
Yes. So we have a first guest here tonight, and this section here is a diaspora, and it's power in diaspora, and pretty much this is a section here where our guests will share, you know, their migrant story, you know, and how they are impacting and influencing change where they are. And the purpose of this segment is to what? It's to highlight how ultimately the relationship we build can create a bridge that gives access to what? Growth and opportunities. So, I mean, a quick stats, you talk about migrants contributed over $6.7 trillion to global GDP in 2015. $466 billion of remittance were sent to low and middle income countries in 2017. And that's just a few notes, how powerful it is, how migrants can make a difference not only here in the States, but also where they are from. So we are going to bring on a guest. His name is Mr. Barry Hibbert. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, it is. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. And I'm going to let him give you just a pretty much a synopsis of, you know, what he's about and, you know, where he's from and some of his vision here and what he does and how he's looking to impact the community where he is and worldwide.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. My name is Barry Hibbert. I migrated from Jamaica, West Indies when I was about 9-10 years old. Came here, went to elementary, junior high, went to high school, went to college, graduated, ended up with 2 degrees, a computer engineering degree. And then I went back to school and I became a physical therapist afterwards.
Oh, nice.
What a switch. Oh, okay.
Yes, it was. I think it was more impacted because, you know, I did computer engineering because my friends was doing it. And that's one of the important things, because a lot of these kids, they don't have the guideline of what we need to do in life. And I was one of that person. You know, I never knew what I wanted to do, but I just wanted to follow my friends. They wanted to be engineers, so I wanted to be engineer. And I knew nothing about it. I cared nothing for it. But I just went in and I got my degree because my mom, you know, she's a single mom. And she pushed me in, you know, and I graduated and I finished my schooling. But then after, you know, doing engineering, I hated it. I hated it with a passion. But the fact it remained that I end up completing something I started. So, you know, afterwards, I got redundant from the job because the job got bought out. And pretty much we started my own company. I started working with creating herbal products.
Ah, good.
So you studied the company's product before you started? Did you study the herbal thing or whatever?
What happened is, I think, you know, this came back from our roots in Jamaica. Because I used to go back and forth to Jamaica a lot. I'm originally from Kingston and Barbican, but my grandparents are from Montego Bay, and I used to go to St. Mary, St. Thomas. So, you know, I was always involved in the roots, seeing the roots being picked, imported back to America. So I was always fascinated with that, you know, and I thought, saying, how can I get involved with that, that could impact, could share with that, learn that from my country and be a part of that. And that's when I started indulging in that more and more. And what I realized when I used to go to the parties with my friends, they used to have the roots and they used to spill over when you try to open a roots bottle. And I'm like, we have to do something better than this. Everyone is doing the same exact thing. Uh-huh. And that's when I started creating something different, start experimenting and but always have the roots involved in it. Whereas I just wanted a good taste and drink.
Okay.
So taste was a big part of what you want to happen.
Yes, the taste and the herbal, all the herbal extracts inside of it. You know, if you could be able to twist it together and bring it together and make it taste good, and you know, and it's good for the people. And another thing too, you know, we as Jamaican, we come to America. A lot of time we get lost. We get lost in the system. We don't really try to go back and understand where we're from, and the value that our country have. And in that, how we could impact the world with that, you know. And I want to be a part of it. I'm a part of it, and I'm growing with it so much. I'm really excited about this. You know, I created several products on the market right now. I have a product on the market called Stamina Fix. I have another product called Pure Black Seed Bitters and Pure Soursop Bitters. And I have another one coming on the market called Herbal Fuel.
Oh, the soursop sounds good to me. The soursop, I want to take that one out real like yesterday. Wow.
Yes. I don't like soursop. I'm sorry.
No. We're gonna fight there. But the soursop thing got my attention big time.
Absolutely. Because you know, the funny thing, when I put the soursop on the market, you're talking about West Indians, you know, from Jamaicans, Trinidadians, Africans, Haitian, you know, everyone start, you know, they see the soursop, they're very curious about it. Mm-hmm. And the thing about with my soursop is because we combine it with bitters. You know, so we combine it with bitters. And all of the medicinal ingredients like demiana, the sarsaparilla, the pimento, the merengue, you know, the turmeric, you know, those things that we combine it with.
Good stuff. When was the first product made, and how was the receptivity to it after you started letting people try and so forth? Which was the first product, and how was it the How did folks respond to it?
Yeah, what happened when it first started, I was trying to be like everyone else. So, you know, I created, this was like 10 years ago. So okay. I created the product 10 years ago, but I was trying to be like everyone else. I was trying to, you know, have the raw roots inside of it with the bitter taste. And, you know, I was like, everyone is doing the same thing over and over again. So I said, I have to change it up. So I started making it like a soda pop. Like, so I started adding different flavors to it, started mm-hmm. tweeting it, started handing it out to my friends, you know, start giving it to parties. And then people mm-hmm. start saying, okay, I like this. So I start working more on it. I change it from the 7-ounce bottle that people are used to. It's like a sauce bottle. Mm-hmm. And I put it more into a 12-ounce bottle, so where it's more appealing and it's good for the palate. So people start drinking it. It's refreshing. They realize this is the stamina fix I'm referring to, you know. And they start liking it and saying, this is a good stuff to drink. And they like the stuff, that the results that it does for them. And, you know, I hear a lot of information about it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go further and dig deeper. I start studying more about herbs and start learning the combination of putting things together and bringing it forth. But, you know, at the base, I'm always looking back at me being a Jamaican. You know, mm-hmm. how can I impact the world as a Jamaican, mm-hmm. you know, with education from America, and be able to, you know, to really appreciate my culture and, mm-hmm. and our gifts that we have back home. And I just got started. I'm just starting out right now, pretty much. And I have a bright future ahead of me, and I can't wait to go further with this.
I have a question, Mr. Hibbert, and it's from a viewer, somebody who is listening and watching us right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a question about the soursop product.
Yeah.
So how does soursop affect those with low blood pressure?
Okay,
it has a natural tendency to lower the blood pressure.
It does.
So will it affect it in any way?
No, what happened is because of the other herbs that I combined with it, that mm-hmm. It's not too potent, where it's going to, you know, with the soursop, the bitters, you're only taking a tablespoon, two tablespoons. So you're not drinking it in ounces. Yeah.
Okay.
So with that low dosage,
okay,
it
that's good.
Blood pressure like that. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Got you. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I love the fact that you have been using, you know, nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are a lot of other products out there.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're not using the natural things. So why did you choose, you know, to go natural? Because you could have chosen other ingredients, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Why nature? Why natural?
Because why not? You know, why not? I mean, you know, my mom, for example, my mother is impacted with cancer. And, mm-hmm. you know, we look around, all of us are pretty much just drinking these artificial products. And, you know, the only time I can get real true flavors is when I go back home. So I'm like saying, how can I really, you know, put this in a bottle with all these natural herbs inside of it and make it work and make it taste good? So this is something I've been tweaking all along, because why not? You know, there's so many artificial flavors on the market. I'm just excited about my product. I care about my people, and I really want us to really be healthy. You know, that's the importance of it. You know, stop taking this medication, you know, and start drinking natural. Start drinking natural stuff. Mm. If I'm going to put my life on the line for this, I'd rather come natural and try to do the right thing with the people, you know.
I have another question for you. So it's a men's show tonight, and I know all the testosterone is in the building. So I'm only female here. So I'm sure your product will help the men, right?
Yes, it will. Because you see,
I'm gonna start preaching now. Watch it now.
Absolutely. No, because what happened, if you look at the ingredients that we have, I mean, these are, you know, you're looking at the horny goat weed. You're looking at the Damiana. You're looking at the salsa perella. You're looking at the goat cola.
Bring it on. These are all
potent for the blood. You know what I mean? So it really definitely would help. But also, you remember, we also have to exercise. You know, we have to take care of ourselves and drink a lot of water. So, you know, you have these herbal products, yes. But you also have to do your other part. You have to really exercise. You know, get a good night's sleep. You know.
Yeah.
Eat good.
So it's about that balance. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's you gotta have leverage. You know what I
mean? I like how you put it out there, you know, as far as the balance. You know, and as I heard, you know, we dealt with the first part of the show. We talked about Nick and what he was going through and what's happening to him and Viacom, these kind of things. Have you thought about aspect of that you saw, you see where you keep going from, or maybe you have thoughts on that whole situation there, just yourself?
I'm going to tell you something. I take this very personal because I live here in America, and we go through marches on the streets in Brooklyn and in Queens, mm-hmm. and we see the things that happen with the police and how they treat us. Because I was a victim of it. Me and my friends growing up. So mm-hmm. when you hear Nick Cannon speaking out, he's speaking out with what's going on, with passion deep within himself. You know, mm-hmm. all the pain that we go through. Sometimes, yes, people say, okay, he's on the front line where he's a celebrity, but the problem is a lot of celebrities never speak out. They start speaking out now, mm-hmm. and he decided to put himself out there and say, look, I'm going to speak out about it. I'm going to tell you how I feel. Some people might look and say, okay, probably went too far. Probably was too, you know, too direct about certain things. But to me, it's just a black man crying out. Doesn't matter what position they're in. You know, they're crying out because we're tired of this. And yes, you have to understand that if you look throughout history, black people always the good ones. We always the ones who always forgiven, always loving, always caring. We're never the one who the rebellious one against other people or hurting other people. So Nick Cannon was just speaking out in my point of view of it with yeah. his compassion deep within. And look at what's going on here now. We have a president who's a racist, you know, and, you know, all the there's no equality going on here. People think it is. And we're going through a lot of discrimination here. You know, I've been accused of many things when I was growing up. So is my friends. You can't go to certain neighborhoods. Police pull us over. They pull us out the car, put guns to our head. So we're just tired of it. So, you know, they shouldn't have fired him because he was just speaking passionately about what's going on. Mm-hmm. You see what happened with the killing, with the police putting their knees in their throat and killing them. We're fed up with it. And sometimes, you know, for you speaking out, certain circumstance has to come. It's sacrifice. Everyone has to go through sacrifice for changes to happen.
Mm.
You know?
Great point, Tom. Great point, Barry. Great point.
Yeah, things fall apart.
You know, I was thinking, as you mentioned that, you know, in all fairness, we know that, you know, we don't, we have a lot of great cops and we need those people. We need law enforcement. We need, you know, yes. structure and environment. But as I listened to the interview that he was having, what Nick was saying, you know, this show, again, we come from a Christian perspective. You know, we may not be so in your face with it like that, but I do have a perspective, and every thought, our belief system, our ideology come from somewhere, some book, some historian, something. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
When it is said.
Yeah. However, I think that hearing what he said, I see the danger in that, in terms of the fact that it is a thought, it is a historical narrative, right? And uh-huh. and I think it sounded at one point a little general to me, because there are black folks who are known to be very vicious in their own right, you know.
Okay.
And
okay.
some are very nice, yeah. But I think that there is a thing to say about when people don't obey their creator, and I believe that when we don't, there's punishment, mm-hmm. and if you look back in history. There were times when God punished people for not obeying him. And so if you didn't obey him, then you let the other folks come in and now ransack you and sometimes, you know, and mistreat you because you didn't follow the steps, the guidelines of what the Creator laid out for us as a people. But that's my take on it, you know? I just think that historically, we have to be careful what we read and what we superimpose or what we share with other people that we've gone it from somewhere else. You know, this may be not accurate, but it can be damaging. But again, I like what Rochelle says. Lady Missy uh-huh. said something very important. She said that 20 years. So I think about you as an owner, and we need to become owners
Oh, absolutely.
More so and worse. Don't wait so long to get that.
To own your own brand.
Yeah. So that's what we're all about. It's about not only community, but be owners of what we have. So yeah. We can't be told when and when not to put it, right. Away. You know, absolutely. So that's my take on it.
Absolutely. I thought Nick Cannon he owned Wildin' Out.
I thought so too. We all thought so.
But you know something, Barry. The thing is that they actually hired him. Yeah. And there's someone on the line who I was speaking to earlier. I'm gonna have her be brief but she's very knowledgeable. And she actually got some information on it. If she doesn't mind sharing with us the ownership part of working with a company and actually being hired, because that was a very intricate part of the dynamic of it here. So you have a product, but then you become an employee now. So now you put yourself in a place to be fired.
Absolutely.
So, Cole, if you don't mind, if you can just chime in here real quick and just share with us that concept that you mentioned, I thought was very powerful.
I am sorry, Keith. Please repeat that for me.
Yes, you'd mentioned something about becoming an employee. So having a product, having a brand, but then now you become an employee to now put yourself to be fired. So I want you to kind of expand that a little bit, because that's to me very powerful.
You just threw me out there, but
I know that's my job. I be ready, like a good soldier. Better be ready, coach.
Well, what I've learned over the years, when I decided to become an entrepreneur, I knew I had to do two things. I had to work with international companies, like the UN. I'm not talking regular companies. Uh-huh. And I had to work with government. I knew I had to do that because I needed to know how they operate, not what how they tell us to operate, but I needed to know the inner workings, what they did. And so I implement those things in my company, my business myself.
Nice.
And what I learned is one of the things I worked with as a matter of fact, most of the work I did before I started working with church people, which I never thought I'd ever do. I worked with a lot of multimillionaires, you know, owners. You see, when you approach someone and you have your own product and then they hire you, for me personally, I would be stopping to think, why? You've bought into my product, so it must be good.
Yes.
Why the note have you hired me? Because now that you've hired me, remember now, when you have a contract where you're hired, your attention has to be there, right?
Attention
has to be there. Yes. Now, what are you going to do as an entrepreneur? You're going to hire people to run your business, right? Mm-hmm. And now when someone else is running your business, what's happening there? So when he said he was, I don't remember the term he used, but slowly, slowly he lost power into his own, in his own company,
wow.
Right? He was slowly shaded out of that ownership. But why else would they hire you as the chair of a company? I don't know. I'm a suspicious person. My daddy taught me that way. So I'm always considering now if my brand is so good that you bought it, then why hire me and move me away from it? You know, so these are little things. And I'm always preaching, you know, get your own. And not just get your own, bootstrap it too. You know, nobody promotes bootstrapping. When they come and they do research in your community, and when they come and they fund, I say this, there are the triple P's that trip us up. Prayer, paying, and playing. You need to be in the game to win it. You need God to win it. You must be praying. And you've got to pay. You need to invest in your own. Without paying, you have no claim. Wherever the money comes from, that's where the claims will be placed. That's the person that has the power to claim, right? So sadly, and maybe God is just using Nick to demonstrate to us the errors of our ways. Like when you have your own business, you can't then have the most investment. I never invest in someone, not my time, not my energy, in someone's business that they're not willing to put up money for, that they're not willing to put up the greatest value for, that they're not willing to put their time for. Then what am I doing? Unless I intend to take over your business, what am I doing? And Black people have to get out of this. I can afford food to eat, but I cannot afford to invest in myself. I can afford food to eat, but I can't. They keep us shackled to our basic needs. And that's the problem. Therein lies the problem. That's just my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Because if you're really, you're welcome. And if you really think about it, look at all the white persons who have been, for the lack of a better term, ousted from whatever positions they were. It didn't happen immediately, and it certainly didn't happen this way. They were not thrown out without their monies, you know? And they could just come out and say they've thrown him out. I didn't hear how much billions he was going to get with it, you know? And could you, I hear a lot of people talk, oh, he has a platform. He earned that platform. He worked for that platform. And as an entrepreneur, I'll fight for another entrepreneur because I know what it takes to get to where he got to. It took work. It took sacrifices. And a lot of times, I remember in Introduction to Media, they say you take years to build your reputation, your career, your brand, and in a second you can lose it. But that's not this case. He worked to be where he's at. And I heard him navigating a conversation, referencing and pulling on books and reading. It is very clear that this young man is becoming educated. Maybe that's why they ousted him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying, because it was very clear that he's trying to navigate this, trying to find out, trying to learn what is happening here. That's what I heard. And it's such a pity. It is such a heartbreaking pity that as a Black community, we don't know how to commit to our own strength and our own power relentlessly, no matter what.
You know,
Black men need to be supported. Black men are powerful, but Black men are terrified. Because who stands up for them? Who's standing up for them? I stand up for them.
All right.
I don't care if they're right or wrong. I'll stand up for them.
All right.
Every other community does it.
Okay. I totally agree.
I agree.
I totally agree. If I may add before I close, I am not surprised that Nick is in quote unquote hot water. Ghislaine Maxwell's case is in the court. Every time some rich white person goes through the court system, somehow a Black man who has worked his way to earn some kind of wealth is in the picture too. Why? We really need to learn and discover who we are.
Yeah.
And we have got to learn what it means to be a community. We've got to learn that. Who do you hear fighting for Nick? Do you hear anyone? They're all cowards. They're all afraid. Sad.
You see, the reality, the way I see it is that, you know, the system is in place. And, you know, there's an old song that Bob Marley sang. He said, "How long shall they kill our prophets? While we stand aside and look."
While we stand aside. And I think the most powerful part of that quote is the ending. While we stand aside and look.
I do believe, Coach, that, you know, there are dynamics and there are things that are taking place. Yet slowly, I wish it happened faster, but these things are creating shifts. You know, within the financial world, I'm in more talks, have breakdowns to have breakthroughs. Yes, I'm in more awareness about banking together and watching our resources and then more dollars now. Even in the church world, or TBN, the number one church program saying, "What can we do, Black church? We are not in sync here." I'm hearing stuff like, "You know what? We apologize. Tell us what how to navigate ourselves with this."
We are not here to provide them with a solution. If you want to find a solution, go find it.
Yeah, but the point is, Coach, the point of what I'm trying to say here, is that change is coming. But and I believe that. I believe that those of us
who are now
positioning ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be small baby steps, but I think that I just said pray.
I don't even think it's baby steps. May I say something? When the coronavirus happened, I wasn't shocked, and you would have known because I spoke with you. I told you this digital opportunity is a Black people community opportunity, but we won't get it. You see, God realized that the physical world was taken over and controlled. And so he decided, let me open a window, but we're still not getting it. We're still too powered, too afraid, right? We'll go to the store and we'll buy food to eat. Not understanding that that's coming right back out, rather than investing, rather than owning. I say it all the time. When you go look for a job, who's hiring you? Who owns that building? Who built that building? Where does that money come from to pay you?
All right. You know,
see, because that's who's going to own you. Wherever the money comes from, that's who's going to own you, because your time is more important and more expensive than your money. But I just want to say this before I go. Whose back do you think wealth is built on? Blacks.
Of course,
the media, for a show to be successful, whose back you think? Who determines? The black community determines what's going to become popular. That's why they're always studying us. That's why there's so many developmental projects in our communities.
Free stuff, give away free stuff, free this, free that.
All right. There's nothing free. It's always a trade.
Well, you know what, you know what I mean when I say that. You know what I mean when I say that.
But I'm
But folks,
I'm not going to take over your show.
You know, if I give her a chance to go all night, because she's very passionate about this. She really is passionate about it.
Absolutely.
So, Mr. Barry, you've shared some stuff with us, you know, Jamaican, you came here and you're doing your thing. I personally love the product. I like the looks of them. They're very tantalizing, very inviting. I want to definitely try them. And and tell us a little bit about how can we find you, how can we get to you, and so forth.
You can go to www.liquidblends.com, as well as www.liquidblends.com, or you can also call us at toll-free number 866-527-8511. 866-527-8511. Liquidblends.com.
Please spell the link. Yes, spell it out, please.
It's LIQUIDBLENZ.com. Liquidblends.com.
Awesome, awesome. Absolutely. So again, before we wrap up this section here, and by the way, feel free to hang on if you want to hang on for the next section.
Oh, absolutely.
Which Lady Misty is going to probably lead us into that section. Yeah. Feel free to go to chime out if you need to. But if you want to stay on, we welcome you to see the segment. And any final words you want to say before you go? Any final words?
I am so honored for being on your show, and I really appreciate that. And you know, as a black man, as a Jamaican, I'm gonna make us proud. And I'm gonna really make us proud as people. And this is what inspired me. Despite everything that I came to America and I got my education and everything, I still wasn't satisfied, because I wanted to own me. I wanted to create me for us. And this is what I'm looking forward to. So I can give back to my country, give back to my community, and work hard at doing it. You know, this is what I want to say. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And again,
welcome to the show, my brother. I tell you, great job, and looking forward to hear more from you.
Absolutely.
And share your amazing products with the world. And I'm sure they'll love it as well. Absolutely. So again, bless you, brother, and we'll connect.
Let's talk.
Relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business.
And love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty.
And DJ KTE.
On everything. From hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships on You Me Radio. And we are going straight into our life moment segment tonight. Tonight, I have a special guest with me. He's very, very special tonight. So Keith,
I wonder how well you know the guest. I'm wondering. I think you know the guest much more than I do. I'm just wondering how well you know the guest. Yes,
I do. Yes, I do. I know him very well.
Before we go any further, let me just jump in here real quick, guys. Again, this, get an app, guys. Don't forget an app. It's one word. It's UME Radio. One word. Go to your Google Play Store. Go to your App Store. Get the app. This is DJ KTE. And we're with my co-host, Lady Misty. And yes, Lady Misty, let us know what's happening now. It's your time.
As we have been talking tonight, you know, the men are in the building tonight. And tonight, we in this segment, we have a special, special guest. So, Keith, you're in second place tonight, all right? So
I wonder what makes you the special guest.
You are not the main man tonight. So tonight, as our life moment guest tonight, we have my husband. He's in the building tonight.
All right.
Shane Haslam, yes. So
welcome.
Yeah.
So Mr. Shane, can you hear us, sir?
Yes, I'm hearing you loud and clear.
I was telling your wife that when I saw the pictures that we put together, the promo, and I saw this gentleman here, big, bold, like a lion, in a pink jacket. I'm like, you know what? I know this is going to be a great show tonight because he brought in plane. I know you got something to say. So, hey, man, tell us about yourself, a little bit of what you do, where you're from, and, you know, where you're at your life right now, and then maybe share something deep with us that we can be inspired by you, sir.
All right. Night, everyone. All right. So I'm Shane Haslam. The husband of the host for the night.
All right.
Right, my wife Rochelle, Lady Misty.
Yes.
Right. I'm also a minister.
Okay.
I'm a minister in the church. Mm-hmm. I'm also the managing director for the Unity Singers Ministry, which is a gospel group that sings locally in Jamaica.
Okay.
Outside of that, I am also the operations manager for the Positive Vibration Steel Band. And I am also the assistant cost control manager at the Ocean Coral Spring Hotel in Trelawney. But due to COVID, it has been closed right now. Most hotels are closed, which we will be reopening in October. I am a grateful young man who is passionate about God, and I'm passionate about my wife. And I am happy to be on this platform tonight, and I really want to thank you for inviting me through my wife to be here tonight as a host.
So I have a question for you, sir. As you go. So I want to ask you, I'll get your thoughts on this. So what about the name Lady Misty, man? When you first heard the name, I mean, that's not my wife. I know my wife.
Maybe I knew you were going to go there, Keith. I want to know.
You know, we men are, we're very territorial here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So what were your thoughts when you first heard Lady Misty? Did you like,
When I saw it, my wife knows me very well. She knows what I like and what I don't like.
Okay.
So when I saw the name Lady Misty, I was like, cool, that's a nice name.
My man.
That's a nice name, Lady Misty, because when I posted it on my platforms, first I was like, your wife has another name now, you know, and I explained to them that she's on a program and, you know, et cetera. So it's a really nice name. I'm not sure who came up with the name, but it fits her.
I hear you. It's kind of happened, but I think if she didn't like it, it wouldn't have gone. But she then I just thought it was cool. So you know what? Yeah, Misty works for me. But you know,
it works.
But you know, I have another question too. I have so many questions, man. I've seen you singing and all this stuff. But as it is, what's it like having so many, you're handed so many different things? I heard you talk about you're pastor.
Assistant.
Oh, so that's big. And then you talked about your singing ministry and something else. I'm like, so how did you balance that? Wanting to be home with Misty all the time because she's amazing. So, you know, so how do you make it work?
Well, the truth is, when I just got married, being a single man with a lot of responsibilities, it was not easy to transition into marriage with that being able to balance. So I realized that even as a married man, I was not balancing when I just got married, to be honest. But over the years, I have learned to manage. I've learned to delegate. And most, if not all places that I do go, my wife is there with me.
Nice.
So, and what happens, I ensure that we have our time together, nice, separate and apart from church ministry or going out with a group, etc., etc. I ensure that when it's our time, it's our time, and that has nothing to do with ministry or etc. We will just find time for ourselves. Even though I'm a minister, I still have to learn to balance, because at the end of the day, is God first, family second, church comes after. So that's what I have learned over the years. So when I just started out, it was just God, church, family. But because coming out of a single life, going into marriage, you know, everything is not going to change overnight. So even now, I'm still not perfect, you know, but I'm trying my best to balance.
All right. So Lady Misty, is he doing a good job? Lady Misty, I don't know. You tell me, Lady Misty. If you say yes, yes, yay.
Yay. Yay. All right. So go ahead, Keith.
No, I was watching you guys are in yellow. So I was just wondering if it was a planned thing, you know, because it looks quite unified to me. You know what I'm saying? The yellow is working.
This segment is about life moments, and one of the moments that we have as a couple in life is that when we go out, we dress together. So if you check out our on Facebook or on Instagram or wherever you see us both, we are most times color coordinated.
Oh.
All right. Nice. So this is not necessarily one of the nights, because we had a function before coming on the show, and we, you know, with the group unity, so we were all in yellow. So coincidentally, we are together.
Nice, like this. Nice.
But most times when we're going out, we try to coordinate, because it's just, you know, a thing with us. But I'm not the guest tonight. I'm here to ask questions too.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna let you get one in. So you can ask a question. Oh, later,
okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. So Shane, I know that a part of life now is that most of the hotels and work have closed down. And one of the moments that we have been experiencing in life right now is that most persons are out of a job, including you. So tell us how that has impacted you. And what are you doing to cope, and how can you probably encourage others who are going through that kind of a thing right now, that moment when they have lost a job, you know, they're not used to sitting at home, not used to not working. How do you cope as best as you can? And what would you say to persons who may be going through that right now?
Okay, well, for me, if you notice, I've been muting and unmuting my mic because we are in the same space and we don't want the echo.
Gotcha.
So it is not an easy one for somebody who loves work. I am a workaholic, not as before when I was single, but I like to work. I believe in working my own money. I believe in being independent. I believe that, you know, men should work and take care of their family.
Okay.
So that is my sole duty. So being out of a job since roughly the 31st of March until now, honestly, it has not been easy. And for those of us who are men who knows that this is something like the first time something like this ever happened to us, because since I left college, I have not been out of a job for more than about 3 months. So I'm always working, I'm always on the go. So it has some days, it has a toll on my mind. Mm-hmm. There are days that I'm like, I can't do this, I need a job. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, I sit down and I look back, I can't get a job. Nowhere is offering any employment. People are laying off people, so it's not like I can get a job. You know, but what I do, I'm a creative person, so most times I will try to create avenues in which to help me financially. But one of the most interesting things that I love about the relationship that I am in with Lady Misty is that, because she's a teacher by profession, so she still had to work. So now that I am not working, she was able to step in and took care of the side that I normally do. So now she has to be doing her part and has to be doing my part. So, and that is it when you find a good woman. Not all of them are like that. But when you find a good, when you find a good woman who knows that you always take care of her, so now you're in a situation, she will have no reason not to step in where she can. But most importantly, I told people all the time that my job was never my source. God was always my source. My job was just a medium of provision for financial benefits. God had provided the job, but my source is always God. So in a time like this, I will never be hungry or I'll never suffer because my source was, is, and will always be God. So even though I may not have a job, a daily job, the Lord is still making a way even as I go on my daily walk. So, and I want to encourage people, I want to encourage somebody just to remind them that they should trust God in this, in spite of everything that is happening now, especially during this pandemic time, a lot of people are frustrated. What I do, my wife can tell you, I'll just tell her sometime when it things rest on my mind, I will talk to her. But there are times when, as a man, you just want to be in your own space. Just like the women, sometimes they just want their own space.
True,
just
true.
Sit down, I will walk out of the house, I go around the back, I go on the front. I may go in my car and just go down the road or go up the road, buy something, get back, just to drive out, just to get my mind mentally, because it can affect you. And that is just the physical man. Apart from being spiritual, knowing that God is going to provide and he's always there, we know that. It is what we live by daily. But the physical man, it will always rest on your brain at times. Flashbacks will come. Things will pop up. You had things planned. Things are not working as how you had wanted them because of this pandemic. So there are times when you may not just want to talk. You may just want to just relax your mind and just breathe. So sometimes I do that and it helps a lot. Sometimes I'll just go on my phone and yeah.
That sounds good. You know, I'm watching you and you're really just saying some real cool things, but you know, you're a pretty laid back dude. You know, I can see that. But I saw one of your clips on Facebook, my brother. I know what I saw, man. You have a lot of energy, man. You were like the,
yes,
you
know, he okay. Does.
I was like, what do I mean? What is Lady Mister giving this man a drink? I'm like, there's no way. It was like he had so much energy. I was like, I started jumping. I was like, this is crazy. You know, so do you work out? Do you take tonic? What do you do, bro? Talk to me, man, for real.
Well, see that we are on Let's Talk Relationship. The only workout that I do is with my wife.
Bless your heart, my brother. You know what? I'm not mad at you at all. I am not mad. You see, I'm not mad at you, brother.
Outside of that, I don't do like running. I don't do like, well, from time to time, my exercise mostly is done in church. As you say, I'm a very energetic person. I'm jumping, clapping, moving. I'm very charismatic.
Gotcha.
But I'm singing, I'm preaching. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I will do walks. But outside of that, I got reserved where exercise is concerned, which I think I need to start back doing.
There you go.
Because even though I think that I'm slim and I have my six pack and everything, I think that I still need to do some exercise.
Nice.
So
nice.
I'm waiting on Lady Misty to join me and we go and do the exercise together.
Lady Misty, are you going to encourage him or not? I mean, Lady Misty, you got to encourage him now, Lady Misty.
I'm going to work on it.
Yeah, man, it really is good to have you here, man. I think, I think ministry of itself is a lot. And as you mentioned about the group, the group, that is a part of being an entrepreneur. You know, I was in a band for many years, and we traveled Europe, many states in the USA. And it was really part of my mindset as it relates to becoming an entrepreneur. You know,
right.
You create your own, you know, as far as publishing and copyrights. So for a while, that was something that I really looked at as important and something I can leave on to my kids, you know, as I move on. So is that something that you're aspiring to just as a local group, or are you looking to go international? Are you looking to do something, make it more of a brand or something that you can really just take, or something more local? What's that like for you, being the head of this group?
All right. So we are planning to do international. We're going to go international. So
Okay. For
now we are working on our craft locally. I have been international in terms of singing, but not as the group.
Okay.
I've sung like in Fort Lauderdale and so on. I've been to New York, likewise, even done in McClurkin's church.
Okay.
But in terms of singing as a group, we're working on our craft so that we can build ourselves so that we can go international to minister.
Awesome.
That's the plan.
Awesome. And as we're about to wind down this segment here, and I really want to say man to man that I appreciate you for supporting your wife, Lady Misty, what you do. We've had many segments here, and we have not met officially, or even spoken officially until tonight. And I've never heard any complaints. I've never heard Misty looking like she's somebody's home trying to be on her and trying to stress her out. I've always seen her calm and attribute that to you as well. But tell me something. How can we support your group, support your ministry? How can we, what ways can we connect, you know, because a big part of what we do, we want to connect the foreign, so to speak, the U.S. to the Caribbean, Jamaica in particular, to have that connection, you know. I think it's important. So how can we do to support you? Website and anything that we can look at, or
right. So what we do and what you can do, you can assist us in terms of, because we do have 6 original songs.
Okay.
Out. So we have original songs out. We don't just sing other person's songs.
Nice.
We have our original songs. So we do have 6 recorded. We have other songs that are original that are not recorded yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we had 6 recorded originals. So that can be used as a form of promotion for us.
Right.
Also, seeing that you are a man of many hats and may know even Donald Trump.
You can
assist us in promoting us in the United States, getting us on concerts too in the States.
Okay. All right.
We have most of our members do have our visa, so we can travel.
Mm-hmm.
We can do travel and minister. So, you know, those are some of the ways in which we want to promote ourselves as a group, not only to minister locally, but to go to the Caribbean and also international countries. So that, because a lot of persons watch us on Facebook, whether it's from Canada, USA, Europe, Caribbean.
Yes.
They love us.
Nice.
Someone was trying to work on something to get us into the UK during this year, but because of COVID, everything got distracted.
Understand.
You know, that is our aim. The next 5 years, we see ourselves, we would have launched out. We were looking forward for it for this year, next year, because even Reggae Sumfest in Jamaica, that I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes, I am.
This year would have been our first year on Reggae Sumfest, but because of COVID, we were not able to go. And this was like a big thing for us.
Mm.
We were looking forward to it. Because as you know, Reggae Sumfest is an international show.
Stage. Yes,
so,
it is.
Right. So we were looking forward to that. But COVID distracted everything. But I believe that God will allow things to happen in His timing. We just pray, hope for the best, and watch and wait. And God will connect us to the right people, like who is connecting me to you now through Lady Misty.
Yes, right. He does. He does
God,
it well.
God
does it well.
Right. God will allow us to connect to the right people so that we can get a bigger platform or ministry.
Nice. So we're happy. We're happy to actually give you airplay in our station. You and me radio, we know over 40, 50 countries right now, and over 20,000 listeners and growing. And you want to register. I'm sure Miss will help you guide in that area. Register on our app, and we can get you going. You know, give us your song, and we can get you playing. And I think it's an awesome connection. I see sometimes when God does things, he does it so well. You know, he connects us in ways that we don't even know. But the goal is to build kingdom. It's called kingdom building, and it puts all the puzzle together. You know, so again, brother, I'm glad to have you on this show tonight. You are definitely inspiring, and looking forward to hear more from you. And just want to say any last words you want to share with the audience before we call it, say goodbye.
Well, I really appreciate I really appreciate this segment. I really appreciate this show. You know, when my wife told me about it, because you know she's gonna talk to me about it and tell me that she's supposed to be on a show and this is what is expected. And you know, I was really happy because she may not tell you, but she loves to write.
Yeah, and she's a good writer. Excellent writer.
She's a good writer. She's an excellent writer, right? And where it comes on to like talk shows, she has a lot of knowledge and, you know, she has a lot of experiences. And, you know, so this was really a blessing for me in terms of, you know, a lot of persons see me most times on the front and she's beside me, but I'm always most the limelight.
Yeah.
You know, so I always wanted her to get something in which her passion is, because my passion is different from her passion.
Yes.
Right. So, and that's what makes us as a couple, you know, two different people, two different mindsets coming together to make it one. It's powerful. We help to balance each other. And, and that's good. So I really want to encourage all the married people out there, those who are in relationships, to trust God, work with your partner, build together, pray together, talk to each other, find out the issues that you have in your relationship that can be better. Because there are days that you just have to sit down and talk together, find out where you're going wrong, what can you do to make it better. And, you know, in everything, put God first. Once God is at the head of your relationship, it will work. It will work.
Well, you know, so, you know what? We normally have a tip, but I think you actually said something really was a tip. Yeah. You know, and yeah, you really covered a tip for us, because we talk about tips to make a relationship better. But thank you. You were very profound. You said it, hit the nail on the head. And again, thank you for being here with us. You were a great, great guest. And Lady Misty, hey, what can I say? Great team.
What can I say?
You guys are simply unstoppable. That's all I'm seeing.
That's
so,
right.
Yes. So looking forward to see you again, and take care, my brother. Stay blessed.
It was a pleasure being here, and thank you for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. Folks, you're listening to You Me Radio. Let's Talk Relationships. And great segment tonight. Great fun.
Great show tonight.
And looking forward to see you next week. Same place, same time.
Same time. We'll be here.
Let's Talk Relationships, y'all.
Let's Talk
Relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.